So, Dwayne Howe.
We're glad to be here tonight with you folks and to be able to share just a little bit what the Lord has done. All right, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to speak about our spiritual warfare, and we're going to talk to you about some things that you're going to find, I'm sure, almost incredible. They probably are incredible here in the United States, but in Brazil it's pretty common stuff. And I'm just going to share with you some experiences tonight, and I'm going to tell you exactly what I have witnessed and seen, and I'm going to leave you basically to try to figure it out, because I haven't figured out everything. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. Somebody can read, please, for me, Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. Okay, it's a beautiful passage that the Apostle Paul has given to us, and he's telling us that there was a time when you, speaking of you and me, when there was a time where in a time past that we walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, or something we need to understand. When he says that now works in the children of disobedience, that's exactly what he means. A short time ago, there was, I think, one of these killings. There's just one shooting, one killing after another. But there was it involved a man here in Seattle. And when they arrested him for shooting some people, his answer that he gave back was, "Well, I have voices that are speaking to me in my head." And he said, "The voices told me to do it." And I'm afraid today that there's a lot of voices that are telling people to do things. And maybe even the man who just did this terrible thing down in California, in Los Angeles, just yesterday or the day before, maybe he heard voices too. But Satan is alive and well, and he's at work. And it says that wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And people don't understand that. They don't realize the spiritual warfare that we're in. In Ephesians 6:12, looking over at Ephesians 6:12, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And so Paul makes it extremely clear here that we wrestle not against humans, are human things, but our battle is against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of the world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I can remember many times when we would be in the village with the Kulina people and trying to sleep in our house. We had a little lake that separated us from the village, and the Kulinas have a custom of spirit dancing for many, many nights in a row. And they would go out, the women stand with their hands behind their head, and the witch doctor has a special prepared trail that he goes down back into the forest, and he stays back in that place until a spirit has come and has occupied his body. And then he says, what happens is that I stay and the spirit comes up in my body, using my body, and he enters the village. The witch doctor begins to chant, the ladies repeat, he chants again, the ladies repeat. He is teaching them. The Spirit is teaching them. And all the men are sitting around watching this as it involves the women echoing back, and you can hear this chorus. And I can remember laying in my bed at night and listening to that 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning still going on and feeling almost a cloud of oppression and evil. And just praying, "Oh God, be with me and be with us." And it was, you know, it's just something. I hadn't thought about it until one of my sons, we have 6 children. Our youngest son, just recently, when we were together, he mentioned that, how scary that was to him and how he felt the very presence of Satan when they were singing. And they are. They're inviting the evil spirits to come. Okay, there are 4 things I want you to understand about these demonic personalities that we call demons or evil spirits, or Jesus called them spirits. Four things. The first thing that you need to understand is that they have varying personalities. They are not just, one right like the other one. We've discovered that down through the years. Each one of these demons has a different kind of personality. And the Lord Jesus said that in Matthew 12, 43 to 45. Somebody can read that for me. Matthew 12, 43 to 45. All right, we notice several things about this spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is speaking about. The first thing is that he needs rest. It says that he needs rest. This is a being, a supernatural being, who needs a place that he can call home, if you want to think of it that way. He needs rest. The second, another thing is he seeks companionship. He invited more to come. And we've experienced this many, many times in multiple demons within people. The Lord Jesus Christ at one time mentioned Legion. The fact that he asked the demon, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And this is very, very usual in dealing with this type of thing. The second thing is not only do they have varying personalities and needs, but they have varying strengths. Not all of them are real strong. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ found there were some that it was easy for him to expel, and demons left easily. And then there were others, he said, this kind come not out except by prayer and fasting. And they were tougher. It seems like there's a whole regiment of these beings that are of different personalities and different strengths. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. In Mark chapter 1, verse 25 and 27. All right, here was a strong spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ himself could expel. He demanded that he come out of him. Jesus is God. Jesus knows perfectly. These are created beings. Demons are not gods. They're created beings. And this demon did not want to come out. He was strong, but with tremendous strength, he gave up. He had to because the Lord Jesus Christ told him to. All right, they have varying personalities. They have varying strengths. Another thing that we have to understand is they are believers. This is really tough sometimes for people to understand. James 2:19, that verse in James 2:19, there are no atheists amongst demons. There are no atheists. Every one of them believes in God. We have discovered not only do they believe in God, but every one of them believes in hell. Hell to them is a reality. We're going to see that in just a little bit. Let's read James 2:19 first. All right, even the demons believe and tremble. The reason why they tremble is because they know what their eternal destiny is. And in Revelation 20, verse 10, somebody read Revelation 20, verse 10. This is the future of the devil and of all demonic beings. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. They believe that. They one time, a demon spoke back to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, "Why do you persecute us before our time? Why have you come to judge us before our time?" Because he knew that eventually the time was coming. That's it. This is an interesting thing. All right. They have varying personalities, they have varying strengths, and they are believers. And they are helpless before Jesus. That's the fourth point. They are helpless in the power of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is present and when the Lord Jesus Christ is present. There's an interesting thing in Luke 10, 18 and 20. Luke 10, 18 to 20. I want you to look at that because it's kind of a pivotal thing here that we must understand. Luke chapter 10, 18 to 20. Somebody can read that, please. All right, it's the Lord Jesus himself again who has said, "Do not seek," at least the way I'm looking at this, "you do not seek to have a ministry of expelling demons." That is something that he never had. Jesus never sought. He didn't go around the country with trying to find all the demons he could possibly find to expel them out of people. When people came to him and that was a problem in their life, then he dealt with that. But he wasn't seeking to do that. And he said to rejoice. It's far better that you should rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And certainly that is true. And I think we need to be real careful. People who delve into this whole thing, who get excited about it, people who get excited about it seem to have troubles in their lives because of it. And we have to be very, very careful. You have to be very careful. Satanic things are not toys, and they're not something that we should be playing with. I think we're all aware of that from the video games, the songs that are coming out, the Marilyn Manson things, and everything that has to do with glorifying the devil. It seems like somewhere, sometime, it's going to affect the lives of the person who's listening to it and who is yielding to that thing. And it's far better that we should be rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the predominant person. Jesus is predominant, and Jesus is the person we want to glorify. Now let me just give you a few examples. I'm going to hurriedly go through the first one, because when we were just language students in Manaus, we had a fellow named Paulo Cajenio, who was our teacher. Paulo was a Portuguese teacher, and he was a wonderful fellow. He had a real pastor's heart. One day, Paulo was coming to our house to give us a language lesson, and as he was walking to our house, he met a man coming toward him who was holding up in his hand. He had a five-pointed star. He had a five-pointed star. Brazil is famous for its spiritism, and the spiritists who are there believe a lot in these stars, and you'll see houses with this five-pointed star. That is a house of spiritism, and they have a lot of rituals and a lot of meetings that go on, Satan worship. And so this man he was walking along. He was carrying this five-pointed star. He just stopped him, a total stranger. He just stopped him. He asked him how he was doing and why he had that star. Paulo knew what it was. And the man said, listen, he said, I have a boy in my family who is demon-possessed. And he said, I am returning to the house, and I'm going to cut the points off the star, and when you burn them, as the smoke that goes up, the demon will leave. And he had paid a pretty good sum of money to buy that star. And he confessed to Paulo. He said, I'd already tried it, and it didn't work, but I thought I'd come back and try it again. So Paulo said, listen, he said, I think I know a better solution. He said, why don't you let me go to your house, and we'll pray with your son. And so then the man agreed to that, told him where he lived, and Paulo came up to the house and he said, how would you like to go on a little mission trip? And I said, oh, great, yeah, where are we going, you know? And he said, then he explained to me, and I was thinking, wow, you know, what am I getting into now? It was interesting. Okay, the rest of the story is this. We arrived at the guy's house. We arrived there, and he told us an incredible story. He said, we lived out in the jungle. This was the father. He said, we lived out in the jungle, out in the forest, and there came a time when the children would see strange half-creatures coming into the yard, and they would get so scared they'd all run back into the house, and He would look out there, and he couldn't see anything. He'd call his wife. She couldn't see anything. Finally, one day, one of the older boys, who was about 14 then, said to him, he said, Dad, can I shoot him? And he said, yeah. Get the shotgun, he said, and when next time he comes up there, you shoot him. And so in just a short time, this creature appeared. He said, there in the yard. The mom and dad still couldn't see it. The kids were all afraid of it. The boy grabbed the shotgun, said he could see it, and he fired the shotgun. And while the father and mother are watching, and there's nothing, and he said, he's running off into the jungle. And they went out there and found blood on the ground where that creature had been. So he said, I knew then there was something strange that was going on. And what happened next was that the father had a dream, and in his vision, He said that Satan came to him, and Satan said, I want to come and live in your house. And he said, no, I don't want you to live in my house. He said that Satan just insisted. He kept saying he wanted to live in his house. And he said that finally, he said, okay, you can come live in my house if you don't hurt the children. And it's all in a dream. And he said when he woke up, in a cold sweat, wondering what was going to happen. And he found out shortly because the son, who was then about 10 years old, just fell over. And when he woke up, he was under the influence of this demon. This had gone on for a number of months. The boy would be out cold. He would come to. He would be able to take a bow and arrow, and he could shoot lizards, which is almost impossible to do, but he never missed. And as long as he was under the influence of that demon, he would demand cigars to smoke. He wanted to drink liquor. He was just a little boy, and he would cuss, and he'd swear, and he'd carry on. And all the neighbors would come to see him. Yeah, it got to be quite a spectacle. The whole thing was, though, he was getting sicker and sicker until he got to the point where he couldn't walk any longer. They had to carry him out to the outhouse and bring him back. And that was when the father moved into town to get medical help. The doctors told him there was nothing they could do. And they said, then he said, well, I guess I'll have to find some other solution. He went to get the star, cut the points off in it. All right. We arrived at that point. The boy came into our room. He was perfectly fine. He was smiling. He was real weak, but he could sit on a chair. And we began to read scripture to him and just talking to him. Paulo doing most of it, as I was still a Portuguese language learner. And he was talking to him and reading scripture to him and telling him that about his need of the Lord Jesus Christ. He excused himself. And we thought, well, he's gone out to go to the bathroom. He'll be right back. And he went into another room, and then his sister came running out, and she said, he has just fallen. And we went in. Sure enough, he was out cold on the floor. And as we bent over him, Paulo said, when he awakes, he's going to have the demon in him. And within a few seconds, he did wake, and he had an entirely different look on his face. He would not say a word to us. He was stronger. He was able to get up, and he just left us. He never said a word to us. He just left us and went out and sat in the chair where he had been before. We prayed together, asked the Lord for wisdom as to what to do, and then we went out, began reading scripture again to him, and talking, trying to get the demon to say what his name was. He would never answer anything. And finally, Paulo turned to him, and he said, I am going to demand that you leave in the name of Jesus. And then that strange little demonic voice came back to us, and he just looked us right straight in the eye, and he said, I won't leave because you tell me to leave. And he said, I'm not going to leave in God's name. But he said, I'll leave in Jesus' name, and I'm coming back. And we just, you know, kind of sat there looking at him for a couple of seconds. And then it was like somebody just kicked him off the chair, and he went flying off the chair. Fell right down in front of us, just plop. I mean, he went literally right in the air, just like somebody had kicked him, and lit on the floor. And within a few seconds, he woke up, and he was all smiling again and was the normal boy. We asked him if he knew what had happened to him, and he said no. He wasn't aware that anything had happened. So we explained to him that the demon had possessed him and what the demon had said. And we told him, we said, listen, unless you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, if he's there, when the demon returns, he's going to possess you again. And he's attempting to kill you physically. As we talked, the boy was very receptive, and we went through a number of scriptures with him on the plan of salvation, and he accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. We called the family in, told them what had happened. Explained to them, tried to witness to them, and they were kind of skeptical. You know, they're agreeable, but skeptical. And we said, listen, we're going to come back in a couple of days and see how he's doing. Interesting thing, when we returned, it was a couple of days later, as we were walking toward the house, somebody came running down the trail, running down the road toward us, and they were all excited, and they told us this story. He had gotten better physically, and nothing had happened the first day, but on the second day, he was even able to go out to the outhouse, and on his way back from the outhouse, as he was coming back to the house, they said that all of a sudden, they could just hear that weird demonic voice just screaming out and saying, God help me, God, or like they say in Portuguese, he's just screaming out for help, and he, don't hit me, don't hit me, don't hit me. And then suddenly it was gone. And so they said that since then nothing had happened to him. It was as if the demon had returned, attempted to get into his body, and some force would not let him. Some force was beating him up. Now, I don't understand that. I mean, this is you guys can trigger this out doctrinally, what was happening. I'm just telling the experiences that have happened. We went back every Sunday for a number of weeks. We went back to that house, took him to church. The demon never returned. Never again did he ever come back. And the boy grew stronger and stronger until the day came when they moved to another area and we lost contact with him entirely. This is very typical. That story, the whole thing is very typical of what happens again and again. In Brazil, in our area, you can go to almost any area in our little town that we live in and ask somebody if they believe, you know, talk about demons, and they know somebody who's demon-possessed. It's very, very prevalent in that area. And it's not that we don't seek them out, but when you're approached with it, you realize that by the power of God, they can be helped. About, I think, must be 3 or 4 years ago now. It was almost at Christmas time, right after Christmas. There were some of our Indians who were having a real problem with this whole problem of demon possession. Several of them had become possessed, several of the people. And they were asking, there was a group of believers. There were no missionaries that worked in this tribe, but there was a group of believers who were there. And they got word down to one of our mission stations, and they asked that a pastor would come in and pray for a certain girl who was demon-possessed. And the pastor, the pilot who got the... He tried to get several people to come. Christmas and New Year's is not the best time in the world for pastors to go. And a lot, none of them really wanted to do it. And because we had known about this tribe and known some of the believers in the tribe, I said, well, I would be willing to go. And that was a good solution to the problem, I guess. I had a young fellow with me from Gig Harbor. His name is Caleb Suku. And Caleb came along with me at that time. And so the two of us went up there. The Indians met us at a lower village where the airstrip was. They took us up the river to the village. As soon as we got to the village, these Christians just came. There was probably 10 or 12 of them who were there. And they came with their Bibles, and they sat down. They wanted to sing. They wanted to pray. They wanted to just spend time in the Word. They had more questions. We were having a wonderful time. This girl, Katya, was in another room. She was in her hammock, and they told us that what had caused it. Now, here's what was happening there. They have a vine, a certain vine that the Indians are accustomed to drink. And they drink this stuff. All Indian tribes drink it. They hallucinate when they drink it, but they use it for calling the spirits to come. And consequently, what had happened in this particular tribe was, and this gets a little complicated here, but there was a couple from Spain who were Basque, believe it or not, who had come all the way to Brazil. And the man especially, had come up into that area to teach the people to drink this stuff because he was afraid that they were forgetting it or leaving it out of their culture. And the old chief met me, and he was almost in tears, and he said, listen, he said, they don't listen to me. He said, I've told them again and again that not everybody can drink it. He said, in our culture, only the witch doctors drink it. And he said, they're giving it to everybody, the children, the women, everybody. But Katya hadn't had any. And interestingly enough, she hadn't drank any, but she was the one who was possessed. There were a couple other people as well who were having real spiritual problems at that time. They told me right away, as soon as I got there, they said she was talking, she was preaching a sermon, was the way they put it. She was preaching a sermon, and I thought, well, that's strange. And then they said, We recorded it. You can hear it on cassette. And so they got out their little recorder and they started playing this thing, and I was listening to this little demonic voice that was going on. It was preaching from the book of Revelation. And every verse was just jumbled all up and in confusion. And I realized then that it sounded just like some of the... We have a group of people who live real close to our house who have these meetings all the time to expel demons. It's either they either have a meeting to expel demons or a meeting to heal people, one or the other, and it gets really crowded and it gets really loud. And we can hear those guys as they're up there and they're preaching, and sound just like one of them. And I begin to think, you know, I was what has happened is that apparently some demon has been cast out of somebody, has jumped into this person, and apparently got into Katya somehow. But that demon had long since left, they said. And we went in and prayed with her. Took several people had to hold her down to keep her from falling out, to keep her from hurting herself, because that's a real problem. They just cannot control their bodies any longer. And she was really strong when she was under the power of this demon. A number of people have been praying. The demons began to speak back to us after a while. And they kept saying, well, it's bad. This one demon particularly just kept talking back to us, and he said, we can't stay here any longer. He said, there's too many arrows of prayer that are being shot at us. And he would keep mentioning that, and he kept saying, we can't stay here. There's too many arrows of prayer. He said, we have to leave. And then, now I want you to pay real close attention here, because the next thing he told us was, he said, we're going to leave. But he said, we're going to send somebody that's stronger than we are. And we waited there to see what was going to happen. And then she went into a real fit. And she was kicking and flinging her arms and doing judo chops and kicking with her feet and all kinds of things. And boy, it took quite a few people to hold her down. And finally, we were praying. And asking the demon, who are you? And the answer that came back was Bruce Lee. Do you know Bruce Lee? Well, he's been out with the Indians now. The demon was Bruce Lee. And I would never have known. If Caleb hadn't been there, I had no idea who he was. I've been down in the jungle too long and never seen him. I mean, I had no idea. But Caleb knew. And so Caleb came back and he said, I think he's Bruce Lee. I said, who is Bruce Lee? And so then he said, well, he used to be a kick fighter. He apparently had delved into demonic things and died some mysterious death. Maybe some of you know the story better than I do about Bruce Lee. But here he was, and I'll tell you what, he was tough. And we were praying. You know, one of the verses that was interesting, even I forgot to mention that to you here, but before the other, there was a group of the other ones now, before he came, this group there. And we would pray, and they would not leave. You know, they were determined they were going to stay there, except this one was constantly complaining about these arrows that were being shot at him. And we just kept shooting more arrows at him all the time. But anyway, in the end, it was Revelation 20:10. That we would just read that verse, that they shall be tormented forever and ever. And she would just shake. Just when it says that they tremble. They really do. They believe and tremble. Because every time we would read that verse, it would have a terrific reaction within her. It's just like they were scared. And it's interesting that we tried that on Bruce Lee. And He wouldn't shake, but you could tell it was, you know, he knew what his future was. They know it. They know it. Well, as time went on, and, you know, I'm talking about a few hours later and whatnot, as we were praying, there's a group of these Indians together, Caleb and I, with them, and we're praying, we're reading scripture, we're demanding in Jesus' name that the demon leave, and he would leave, and then he would come back, and eventually, he stopped coming back. and at longer periods anyway. So we'd have a whole night of rest, and he wouldn't come back. And maybe the next morning she would have another attack, and then he would leave real quickly. And we were thanking the Lord for the victory that was being given. Another thing that happened during that time, I'm just remembering this now, but another thing happened when all these demons were in her together. The Indians had gone next door almost to a big house that they had over there, and they were having one of these all-night dances over there. And as we were praying and demanding that the demon leave in the name of Jesus, this demon spoke up real fast, and he said, "We're going to leave and go next door." And so then she was perfectly calm. She came to. He went over next door. And about 20 minutes later, all of a sudden here they were all back again. And we said, "Well, why did you come back?" And they said, "They all belong to us over there." So they came back. But this was before Bruce Lee came. And then Bruce Lee came. And we finally decided that we were going to have to take her out of that whole situation because of the drinking of the vine drink. And then when they drink this vine drink, they chant and ask the spirits to come. So we took her downriver and to another place. She was fairly calm most of the time. And within, the pilot wouldn't fly her out because they won't fly people who are demon-possessed. It's too risky. And so they had to make a trip by canoe, and they got a canoe already, and apparently she was okay. They took her out. We never saw her after that. But these are some of the things that we face, and it's not always the same. You can't always deal like, you know, you can't always think, well, the next situation is going to be just like I've gone through. Now I know how to do it, because you never know how to do it. And you never know. There are those that only come out through prayer and fasting, and you're going to have to spend a lot of time doing that, and a lot of time praying, and a lot of time just crying out to God, what can we do to help? But it's encouraging to know that those arrows of prayer are being shot. And the demons cannot resist that. They can't resist in the name of Jesus, and they will go. I would like to leave it open now for a few minutes. You probably have questions that you would like to ask, and I'll try to answer them. If I can't, brother here can. Anybody have any questions? Yes. No, they aren't. You see, one of our biggest problems in Brazil, especially even with Indians, is that people live in a supernatural world anyway, and this is just part of the supernatural battle that goes on around them all the time, and usually they're not that overwhelmed. We could never get any of Adolfo's parents ever to receive the Lord. We told him what had happened to him. We said, "Listen, this young boy has been you know, God has done a wonderful work in his life. He's a Christian." And he was. I mean, he really wanted to live for the Lord, but his parents wouldn't. They wouldn't make any kind of commitment of their lives. And the Indians are the same way. Yeah. There's a verse there. What did Jesus say? Somebody find it real fast for him. I have no idea, no. I met a man in Cruzeiro do Sul who is a wonderful Christian. This guy can fix anything. He fixes washing machines, fixes radios. I mean, he has got a gift to do this. And he met him one day. He was out witnessing to people, carries his Bible. He has a little shop that he works in and fixes things. And he was out witnessing. And saw him walking one day with his Bible and stopped and talked to him. But he told me a tremendous story. He said when he grew up, and he grew up on the coast of Brazil, that his father was into all kinds of witchcraft and things. And he said when he got to be a teenager, he left home. He went from town to town going up the Juruá River until he got to Cruzeiro do Sul. He drank all the time. He he would be drunk and laying on the streets and whatnot. But he said that when he got to Cruzeiro do Sul, when he got to our town, that he began to have problems with spirits speaking in his head. And they were always telling him, listen, we have come because of your dad. We're here because your father served us. You're going to serve us too. And then he said after a while they began telling him, listen, you've got to kill yourself. You've got to kill yourself. And he said that he couldn't get rid of those voices that were in his head. You know what? Somebody, he would sleep. I mean, he was a bum. He was a bum there on the streets of Cruzeiro do Sul. Some Christian came along. A Christian came along and took him under his wing, so to speak. Took him home. Gave him food. And then took him to a meeting. And he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that when he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said that that whole thing just left him. He never had those voices speak to him again. And he was completely transformed by the gospel. But often we've found, I'll tell you another case. We had an Indian boy who was in a hammock. And we had just gotten the book of Genesis. we had got the book of Genesis for the Indians who could read. Remember, we had to teach them how to read and everything. But the translated scripture in their own language, he took that Bible, he took the book of Genesis, and he was laying in his hammock and he was reading the book of Genesis. And it was like, all of a sudden, the Indians who are there, that's the way they described, they said it was like somebody just threw him out of the hammock. He just went up in the air and he came down. Their houses are built about that far off the ground. And he went right out into the yard. I mean, it was a big fall. And he was flopping around like a fish, going one side to the other side. And they brought him over to us. They were holding him down, brought him over to us and to my coworker and I, John Stolting and I. And we were, you know, we're sitting there thinking, what kind of, you know, is it sunstroke? Is it epilepsy? Or is it, what is it that happened to him? And one of the Indians said, he just said, well, he said his father was a witch doctor. His father's died. And the spirit that was in his father just now come into him. And wow, that's what it is. And so we prayed, and I just prayed in the name of Jesus that he would be cured, healed, and the demon left. He calmed right down. We had him hang his hammock real close to our house so we could watch him because he was tremendously weak. He was just weak. And he had to lay there for several hours just to get his strength back. When I finally asked him what had happened to him, and he just said, the devil didn't like me reading Genesis in his Indian language. That was the way he put it. And it seems like that was true.
One of the passages is in Matthew 17.
Okay.
14-21.
Matthew 17:14-21. Mm-hmm. For Jesus says, this kind come not out except through prayer and fasting. You see, there are even some that he had difficulty. He's God. Apparently, his disciples had the problem. Yeah. Jesus didn't have the problem, but he's telling them there are some that, you know, you're not going every time you pray, they're not going to jump right out. And that, I think, is real true. Go ahead. Well, apart from that one, see, he answered back to us and he said, I'm not going to leave because you tell me to leave or in your name, or I'm not even going to leave in the name of God, he said, but I'll leave in the name of Jesus, but I'll come back. And that case, these guys were trying to get the power that Paul had without knowing him. They weren't saved. They thought they could buy this power somehow and get it. And you can't do that. You got to know Jesus Christ personally. You got to walk with him and be his follower, right?
You mentioned the drug usage.
Yes.
And then the chance that caused people to use other uses.
No, I don't think so. We've never seen them use hypnotism. Their demon worship is so outward. They don't. They just know that the demons are going to be there. They talk about it all the time to you. I went up to a village one time and I was all by myself. I'd gone up to this village for language learning reasons and to be with the people. And while I was up there, I was in a little tiny shelter and I was in my hammock. And right that night, as soon as it got dark, these teenagers, about three or four of them, came down and started, made a fire, and they put this pot on there, and they had these vines all cut up in there, and they were sitting there chanting, you know, and they do a rami, 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 rami. And so they're calling for the demons to come. They're doing this chant, and they're calling, and it went on for an hour or two, and I was just a few feet away from them in my hammock and mosquito net. So I was there praying, oh, now what am I going to do, you know, with these guys? I'll never be able to sleep because it's going to go on. And finally, I just prayed, just laying there, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that this stuff ain't going to work, you know. And you know what? It got real quiet out there. They stopped chanting. And they start talking. I could hear them. They were talking to each other in low whispers. And finally, everybody got up and they just left. And I slept. And the next morning, one of the girls that had been drinking that stuff, and I came by. She just happened to be walking by early in the morning after I'd woken up. And I saw her and I said, just, hey, what happened last night? You guys quit. And she said, I don't know what happened. The spirits just all left. Amen. Yeah. And it's just one of those little crazy incidences that happens, you know, when the Lord to confirm to me his presence, I'm sure. But these things are part of our life down there almost all the time.
You know,
it's an interesting point. I was talking to you about the head bashers. The head bashers, once they do get them peaceful, once they're able to work with them, the head bashers already are going to have a whole belief system in spirits, because the evil spirits have been there a long time before. And they're going to have a witch doctor, sure as anything. And they'll have a belief in various spirits that are there. And this is the religion of the people, because they were the first missionaries. The demons were the first missionaries to come. It wasn't us. They came with the doctrine of Satan, and they held these people in bondage to them. And they're just there. It's not that they want to be under their power, but they know nothing better until you come with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's liberation. And even then, it's hard. Our worker, Moasi, who is a wonderful preacher of the Word of God in our tribe now, shares that his mother, all of these years, has heard the gospel, but now she's a spirit chanter. And he just torn up in his heart, you know, because she has chosen now in her old age to go into that. And it's a choice they make. Yeah. Well, I think wherever we have missionaries, we eventually have a church. And the church gets started, and once the church starts, in some areas, just dozens and dozens of people have come to Christ. But it takes time, and you've got to dedicate your life to it. But the victory is there. In Brazil as a whole, the gospel is spreading so rapidly throughout Brazil that it's just baffling to people. I think now it's 25% of the population of Brazil are considered evangelicals. That's the Assembly of God, the whole thing there. But they're not Catholics. And they certainly are very devoted people to go to church all the time. We have a lot of charismatic groups, like I was talking about. There are a lot of groups that are wild. They're just wild. We call them the civilized witch doctors, because they kind of come in and do civilized things. They're the same thing that the witch doctors out in the jungle are doing the tribes. Yeah, our time is way up, but yeah. All right.
Praise God, and we'll you know.
My little one-minute summary is when Dwayne and I were talking, and you know, he's been in Brazil for 20 years, and my perception on why we don't see it in America is because we lock up most of the people that are possessed and put them in insane asylums and drug them and say that they're mentally deranged. They're here in America, too. Pretty soon, there's not going to be the ability to contain them in the insane asylums because we as a culture are becoming seekers of spiritual powers and witchcraft, which, again, I want to emphasize the Pokemon cards and everything else. In fact, somebody took my comment about the web page and they went and they printed, who was that that came to me and had them printed out? The web page is showing this wickedness and stuff that it leads into. Every child in America who is being programmed with Pokemon cards right now is the next witch doctor of their little teen group. And we're going to see this stuff. And you know, the guy that just shot those Jewish people, you know who Satan hates? Jews and Christians. Because they're in two different ways, the people of God. And so the voice comes into his head, and he is driven by satanic powers to go kill children. The same thing with these kids going into their classrooms, and they've been worshiping Satan. They have been following doctrines of demons, and they go in and they kill people because that's what Satan does. And then as soon as they get done killing people, the demons that say, kill yourself, they do that. And then they kill themselves. We are living in a culture where I want to emphasize, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, you know, in taking, do all that you can to be armed for this, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, your loins girded about with truth, the shield of faith by which we will be able to quench the darts of the fiery enemy, and the sword of the Spirit by which we will be able to go battle in war with him. And the people that we look at, another interesting thing, we can talk to somebody and they look totally normal. And the next second, a demon can be inside of them. They can pick up the gun. They can go into the school and they can slaughter people. They can look totally normal. See, this is, how could, he was my neighbor. We talked. Everything was okay. And how could he have done this? And in this spiritually depraved world, understanding of spiritual things and spiritual battle, depraved world that we live in, people don't think about the spiritual demonic powers that are going on. Christians are the only ones that can. And these things are happening all around us. And we need to be in prayer and we need to be thinking about how we can minister to these people. Dwayne's heading back to Brazil. He's here to just get R&R and, you know, find out who Bruce Lee is. So, the human one that used to, if somebody would like to minister monetarily in helping Dwayne, feel free. Dwayne Howe, H-O-W-E, his last name, D-U-A-N-E, right? And you can make checks out to him. He's with New Tribes Mission. You can make out that, but it has to go the whole circuit. I'd encourage you to, just if you feel led, to minister to him in that way as he prepares to go down to Brazil. And we're going to be ministering to him in that way. You might want to sign up for his newsletter, keep in touch with him, be a ministry to him and to Nadine while they're down in Brazil a year from now by keeping in touch with email and as they travel the country, because you're only here for this month and then you're going all around the country. And so, again, let's just thank God in prayer for Dwayne and Nadine. Father, we thank you for this servant of yours and how you've used him and how each soul that is set free from the powers of Satan and filled with the power of your Spirit. What a blessing it is. We just thank you for how you are using those that have been called to Brazil to minister to the Brazilians, and that some have come to know you, and that the message of your gospel has truly gone out into all the world. We pray for wisdom, Lord, in our culture, that you'd give us an understanding, a wisdom, a discernment in dealing with the increased spiritual battles in our own country as wickedness is also abounding. We just thank you for your grace in Jesus' name.